Hallelujah. I thank God. I thank God so much for the path that we are on. I just thank God for the path that we are on. I tell you why, because I haven't really, for the last 2 months really of my life, I've really began to hear Dave's teachings all over again. I took years off from hearing them, years. Why? I have no idea. I was dumb. But I started hearing them again, but I've been devouring them the last 2 months probably. Started hearing some Gary's, and I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm excited. You know why? Because the sky's the limit for anybody that prays in the Holy Ghost. Because so much of what I've been praying out through the Holy Ghost, I hear these tapes, and though Dave is, to me, with Gary and Barry and all the guys that are over us in the spirit, Jim Martin, Pastor Brunk, all these guys are incredible. But we know that Dave Roberson is Dave Roberson. But I'm not even going to lie. I'm going to boast a little bit. I'm going to brag on the gift of praying in tongues, the gift the Holy Ghost has been given to each and every single one of us. I've been hearing a lot of his teachings lately, and I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm kind of happy that a lot of the stuff he's been getting, I've gotten through the Holy Ghost. It goes to show that any man or woman that decides to read their Bible and incorporate meditation through assimilation the way he teaches it in praise in tongues, we can get the same exact thing. In fact, if I meditate the book of James once and you do it 100 times and you incorporate the Holy Ghost and you incorporate meditation, you're going to get more than me. Even if I am a pastor, you're going to get more than me because of the rules, the laws of meditation. When I heard, I've never heard a place called Dunn before. I heard it last night. I poured 6 hours. I started last night around 11, and I heard all the way to the wee hours of the morning. 6 hours of five or six different teachings. It's serious teachings on the place called Dunn. I ain't going to lie to you again. I've never heard of the place called. I've heard Pastor talk about it once. I knew what he was saying. I've never heard the teaching by Dave, but I heard it for the last 12 hours. I devoured all 6 hours of it. And I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm going to brag again on the Holy Ghost. I ain't even going to lie to you. Cross my heart, I ain't going to lie to you. I got a big heart. Yeah, I'm one step ahead of all of you. Man, I've been praying in tongues. I'm a smart aleck in a spiritual way right now. I'm way ahead of all of you. And I'm being sarcastic, not ahead of you. I'm sarcastic. If you got ears to hear, you know what I mean. He laughs like old man, Dolly. And I ain't going to lie to you again. What does this sound? How many of you have heard the series Place Called Dumb by Pastor Dave? Say, I've heard it. Okay. So what does this sound like to you? Now, if you've heard it, I'm going to know whether you're telling the truth or not. The Lord put this in my heart about a couple of months. I've been confessing it myself without hearing the series Place Called Dumb, without hearing it. What does this sound like to you? God, you spoke it to Isaiah. Isaiah heard it and he prophesied it. Isaiah prophesied. What did Isaiah prophesy? He took our infirmities and he bore all of our sickness. And Jesus came and fulfilled what Isaiah prophesied. Father, I thank you. I thank you that I have what has been fulfilled. Without hearing the tape, me hearing the tape, what does that sound like to you? Like what the place called what? Before I even heard the tape. Not that I'm anything, but because the Holy Ghost is everything. He is everything. God, I thank you that you spoke it. This is before I heard the tape. Before I heard it. So I wept when I heard it. Why? Because you got to know, because he gave it to me. The Holy Ghost gave it to me, man. He gave it to me and he'll give it to you as sons and daughters of God. You just got to want it more than anything on the face of this earth. You got to want it. More than anything, you got to want it. More than what? More than anything. More than anything. More than anything. More than money. more than recreation, more than a high school football game, more than a Miami Heat game, more than a Miami Hurricane game, more than a boat and fishing, more than my wife, more than my kids. I thought of every excuse that we all walk in. We gotta want it more than life itself. More than life itself. More than me wanting to attend one of my kids' baseball games. I gotta want it more than anything on the face of this earth. So I heard, I said, God, you spoke it. Isaiah heard it. Isaiah prophesied what you spoke. Isaiah prophesied that you took our infirmities and you bore all our sickness. That you came, Father, as a man, and you fulfilled the very own word that you spoke to Isaiah. That means it's done. That means I give you praise, glory, and honor for Jesus Christ fulfilling the very words that Isaiah prophesied. I thank you, Lord, that I have been healed 2,000 years ago. I've been born again. I've been spirit-filled, and I've been healed 2,000 years ago. You have done it 2,000 years ago. I thank you that that place exists. It has never, ever, ever ceased, Father. That place was prepared for me, a provision, an inheritance, and a heritage that I have because of what you did for me, Jesus, just because you love me. The master's plan was a master plan of redemption. We are part of the master's plan. We have been redeemed from A to Z, my friends. We don't lack any. We just got to go get it and bask in that glory, in that place called done, doing the backstroking and doing a cannonball and just jumping in the pool and enjoying everything that he's given me and you. But it comes at a cost of hating everything in comparison to Jesus Christ. Completely hating everything. I'm not talking about a legalistic thing. I'm talking about a love affair. A love affair where when you're martyred for the cause, you count it all joy. When you're flogged and beaten in prison, where you begin to pray and sing hymns and songs in prison. There's that place of passion that the church knows very little about. I'm telling you, my friends, I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it. He's worth dying for. He is worth dying for. Just so you'll know, so the devil won't come whisper in your ear, I included myself on those excuses because I love the Miami Heat. I love the Miami Hurricanes. Oh, they haven't given me another reason to cheer about for 10 years, but I love them. I love my boys' baseball game, but they know now, son, it's Wednesday. I know that. There's a price to pay, a good price to pay, a good price to pay. Price to pay. That's why he said, deny yourself. Take up your cross. Deny yourself, follow me. And I'll make you a fisher of men. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Daily. That word daily carries an awesome meaning in the Greek. I mean, I looked it up in 3 or 4 different books in the Webster's. In the Greek, it has a powerful, powerful meaning. You're not even going to guess what it is. Daily means daily. I looked it up and I cross-referenced it in Spanish and Latin and Greek and white and redneck and Creole, and it means the same thing. Daily. It doesn't mean once a week or on occasion or as your emotion dictates. It means daily. Don't you know that you don't always feel like spending time with Jesus daily? But I will tell you this, the closer you get to him, there's no effort in it anymore. It's just a part of your life. It used to be an effort for me. Are you bragging? Like, yeah, I am. I am now. It's not an effort no more. It's just a part of my life, man. It's just a part of my life. I want to be a man of great faith. For what reason? To bring him glory. I can't bring him glory being of little faith. Can we? Because if we're a little faith, then we don't believe that he can do anything, right? It's time. It's time. You agree with me, that's why you're here. When Pastor Bong's gone, you're here. You're here. Even when he's gone, you're here. I want to be a man of great faith to bring him glory. Is it amazing how Jesus told almost everyone through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that was here? He said, according to your faith, so what? So be it done unto you. He mentioned that on several occasions. So according to your faith, so be it unto you. According as you have believed, so be it unto you. As you have believed, do you believe I can do this? Yes, I believe, Lord. So be it done unto you. Faith, 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 faith. But isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that he oftentimes told the apostles, you are what? Of what? Little faith. Little faith. Everyone that was healed, he said, you are of faith. And the ones that he said, you are of great faith are the ones that believe for somebody else to get healed. He said, your faith has made you whole. Why? Because you believe for yourself. And when he said, you are of great faith is when somebody else believed for somebody else. Now, there's some stuff on the centurion and the servant that I said before I wasn't sure of, but I wasn't sure. Now that I wasn't sure, I think I might have been sure the first time. But I got to go back and pray it out. Did you get that? I was sure when I said it, then I was told I wasn't sure, and I thought I wasn't sure when the person told me I wasn't sure, but now I think I'm sure I was sure the first time. But before I say I was sure, I got to make sure that I'm sure. I don't want to be unsure again. You with me? I can't say that again, though. I'm sure I can't. But everybody that was healed, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're going to go into 1 John. We're going to start a series on it, an awesome series. You're going to love it. Awesome series. Brand new stuff that I've got. I'm just going to exhort you here a little bit. Everyone that was healed. It's Kathy, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Healed. Rosie, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Healed. According to your faith, be healed. Be healed. But you hear the poor apostles, poor guys, when they couldn't cast the devil out of them. When they come off the mountain of transfiguration, they came to the foot of the mountain. Why can we not catch? Because you lack of faith in front of everybody. On the boat in Matthew, Jesus asleep on the brow. Christ asleep on the boat. You think Julio would like Jesus asleep on his boat, on the brow of his boat? Oh, you think Julio would like that? Oh, I bet you he'd love it. Jesus, touch my reel, Jesus. Let me catch about a 40-pound snook. Now, Julio would have took advantage of that situation, but the apostles didn't. Jesus, anoint my hook, Lord. I want a big old drum. Kathy's hungry. I need a big old drum. I need a snook. I need something to feed my wife. She's hungry. Anoint my fishing pole, Lord. Julio would have took advantage of that. I don't even know if he's here or not, but I'm saying it anyway. But the apostles, they have Jesus asleep on the brow of the boat. Asleep. Mimi. He was Mimi. He was, like Mexicans say, he was chileando. He was chilling. Chileando on the boat. Roncando. He was snoring. He was, the Mexicans that can't talk English, they would say, he was chilling. Mexicans can't say the CH or the CH or the SH words, you know. South Carolina, we call it South Carolina. North Carolina, we call it North Carolina. Chicken, we call it chicken. Shersh. Oh, it shocked me, you know, shocked. So Jesus was on the boat, on the brow. He was chileando. He was chilling, roncando, sleeping. And it occurred to me, Lord, you told them they were of little faith. They were apostles. At the time they were in the making. They were being trained by the perfect prototype, by Jesus Christ. They were being trained by him for 3.5 years. They trained under him. He said, you have little faith. Who be of little faith. Everyone else, prostitutes, adulterers, fornicators. What do you think was in the multitude, man? Good, bad, gentle, forward people. What do you think was in the multitude? But yet somebody out of the blues, just touch the hem of his garment. Oh, according to your faith, you've been healed. Well, it'd be nice if we could have that, huh? Well, we can, but they were unregenerate, not accountable. But he called the apostles. He said, you have little faith. Lord, wake up. Don't you care that we're drowning, Lord? We perish. We perish, Lord. Wake up. Oh. We called him. He said, according to your faith. Faith in who? Faith in what? Woman with the issue of blood, you touched the hem of my garment. I looked at you eyeball to eyeball and said, according to your faith, so be it done unto you. What? Who did she have faith in? In who? In Christ, that he could do the miracle according to your faith. Here the apostles are. See, the waves are contrary. The wind is blowing. Now faith is believing that Jesus Christ can do something. Faith to me is an extraction of receiving revelation and understanding from God's word. That's where we grab our faith from, praying in the Holy Ghost and fasting and doing everything that we're called to do. Oh, ye of little faith. Lord, wake up, Lord. Lord, wake up, Lord. Don't you care that we're drowning? Lord, wake up, save us, Lord, or we perish. Or we perish, Lord. If faith is believing that Jesus can do something, when you can believe Jesus can do something, that very self same hour he will do it. At the moment that you conclude in your spirit that Jesus can do it, you will have it instantaneously. It is biblical. It is written. Here the 12 have God in the flesh on the boat. The winds are contrary. There's a tempest in the lake or the Sea of Galilee. And they panic. The Lord, wake up lest we perish. Jesus woke up. Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Why? Why? If faith is believing, you only believe two things in this world, man. You believe Jesus, or you believe the world system. Believe God, or you believe Satan, one of the two. Either God's your father or Satan's your father. You believe one of the two. According to your faith, Kathy, so be it done unto you. Healed. Lord, wake up or we perish. Wake up or we perish. Don't you care that this boat's about to collapse? We're going to perish. We're going to perish, Lord. Oh, ye of little faith. Told the centurion, I've not found so great faith in Israel. He told Jairus, it's going to come to pass. Two on the side of the road, the blind man, according to your faith. Woman with the issue of blood, according to your faith. But he told the 12, Lord, wake up or we perish. We concluded that either you believe Jesus or you don't believe him. Those that believe Jesus, he said, according to your faith, so be it done unto you. As far as I can see in the scripture, who told the 12 that they were going to perish? Who told them? It wasn't Jesus. He saved them. The world system, or Lucifer himself. By the way, I gave Reuben that answer. So he wasn't supposed to say that. I gave him that answer the other day. So he's not getting credit for that. No. I told him that. Lord, save us or we perish. Who told you, Kathy, that you were going to perish? Do you know who's with you on the brow of this boat? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God in the flesh is with you. Who told you you were going to perish? Oh, ye of little faith. Who told you you were going to perish? Who's telling you today you're dying of cancer? Who's telling you this? What devil from hell has been whispering in your ear, telling you that you have this or that? Who told you? Who's giving you that report? Who's ministered to your soul right now? Is it the word of God or is it Satan? Who told you that your kids were going to hell? Who told you that lie? When Jesus said that if you pray for those, I'll give you life. For those that sin not unto death. Who told you? Who told you these lies? Who told you that you were going to die tomorrow in a car accident? Who told you that you were going broke? Who whispered that to you? Who's entertaining you? Who's your daddy? Wasn't the word of God. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. Who's fulfilled for you and provided a supper table for you with a place called done? Who spoke it? Who prophesied it? Who fulfilled it? None other than Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Who told you? Simon Peter, Andrew, John, Thaddeus, Mark, Matthew, Simon, the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot. Who told you? Who told you you were perishing? Who told you that? Who told you your marriage was over? Who lied to you? Who told you to give up on your marriage? Who told you your kids were going to hell? Who told you you were dying of cancer? Who told you you were going broke? Who told you? Who told you? Who told you this? It wasn't Jesus. Who calmed the waters? Jesus. Don't entertain him, my friends. Speak the word. I'm just doing as good as I ever have in my life, but don't ever think I don't have to speak the word regarding these two gentlemen here. But I speak it. I have to remind myself of that place called done. I have to remind myself, I have to remind these little eyes of mine that try to be rebellious. I have to remind myself, hey, buddy. Soul, like Gay says, my soul. God spoke it to Isaiah. Isaiah heard the words that God spoke. Isaiah prophesied. What did he prophesy? Took our infirmities and you bore my sickness, and by your stripes I've been healed from strife. Jesus fulfilled what Isaiah prophesied. Isaiah prophesied what he heard from the Father. God came down as a man filled with eternal life and fulfilled his very own words. For who? For people, for me and you. For me and you, he fulfilled them. That place exists. It's never gone away. Religion, schools of theology has separated God's truth. Theology has. Doctrine has. False doctrine has. Not sound words. Preachers that are too smart for themselves have separated this. Who told you you were perishing? Who whispered that damnable lie to you? Who told you that you have to be on medication for the rest of your life? Who told you that lie? It wasn't the Son of Man. It wasn't God's word. If that's the case, then we have hope. Amen. If Jesus didn't tell me we were perishing, then we got hope. On the contrary, he came to give me and you life and life more. quiz sue you, God. You've been reading your Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Did I crack this, whatever it is? No. Hallelujah. I had to get that one out. Little exhortation to help you in your faith. Who told you? Who told you? It wasn't Jesus. Faith is extracting understanding and revelation out of God's word. Like Matt says, it being abundant in you. Let me go back real quick, as I said something Sunday, and I stand behind it, but I want to make sure that Satan doesn't come and whisper to you. I want to make sure. I've devoured teachings the last 2 months. I've devoured Pastor Dave's, and he is second to none as far as teaching in a man. He is second to none, in my opinion. I'm entitled to my opinion, but he's second to none. His revelation knowledge is second to none. And I've heard him say it himself on his tapes. You can't just live off the tapes, man. Dig the scriptures. Dig the scriptures. You can't just live off the tapes. Just because you can preach a tape and remember his tape does not mean it's abundant in you. That means you got a pretty decent memory. A pretty decent memory carries you nowhere, but abundant. Abundance of having the revelation of what he says is another thing. Be reading the word. Be reading the word. His teachings have changed my life along with the word. I read the word more than I hear to. Usually I stay in the word all day long, and at night me and my wife will go to sleep hearing tapes. Last night I just took it to the extreme. I had to hear all of them. Be hearing, and if you don't agree with that, that's fine. Keep praying. You'll understand it later on down the road. Nothing, nothing, nothing is exalted over God's word. Nothing in the world. David said in Psalms 18, as for God, my God, his way is perfect. He said, the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those, to all those. He is a shield to all those that trust in him. Kathy said, all those. I'm in all those. My wife is in all those. Renee is in all those. Everybody here is classified as in all those. That's for my God, his way is perfect. What's your way that's perfect? His word. What's his word? Holy and undefiled. His word is what's holy and undefiled and what's perfect. And that's what we trust in. And when we trust in his word, he is a shield to me and you. And we make it through every damnable tribulation, every fiery trial on the face of this earth. Nothing can hold us down. Nothing can hold us down. Nothing can hold us down. Nothing. Why? Because Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, God in the flesh, has fulfilled the Father's words. In his humanity, he fulfilled all the promises of the Father. That place called done has never left. Miracles have never left. It's always been there, accessible to me. We just got to have the guts to go get it, man. It's there. Trust me. I know I'm going to get this back. I feel it in my spirit every single day. But just in case, just so I can teach you something, in case it doesn't come back, I will not start a new doctrine that it's not God's will for Homer to be healed. I won't start that doctrine. I'd rather die than start that doctrine. I'd rather die a treacherous death than to start that doctrine and to mislead the sheep. I'd rather die than to start that damnable heresy. I'd rather die. For me to say and look at you as a weak pastor because I don't have the guts. I stay on the golf course all the time and I don't have the guts to go in my prayer closet. I'd rather die than come up with that lie and tell you that. Don't say amen. I don't want to die. Gosh, man. Hallelujah. What are you laughing at? Hallelujah. Heard a lady in Texas, a good friend of ours, Eddie the Balderas. She lives in Canyon, Texas. That's where Jocelyn's at, one of the kids that good friends with Kathy and Julio, good friends of ours. He's in Canyon, Texas. And I was so proud to hear from her. We drove up about an hour west Texas. And we were asking her about her church. And I love what she said. I love what she said. I said, and I began to talk to her about her church. And you could tell she was on fire about her church. She loved what's being taught there. I think the pastor, if I'm not mistaken, was a graduate from Rhema. Is that? From Rhema. Is that Hagen?
Yes.
Okay. And I love what she said. She said he was doing a t- teaching about the Holy Ghost. And I guess it's a big church. It's in Amarillo, Texas, actually. The little town that we were at is Canyon. Beautiful place. And she said that her pastor went up to the pulpit. And I was so tickled to hear what she was telling me, because it almost sounds like he's on this walk. I don't know what, I've never really heard Hagin's teachings, but I hear Pastor Dave talk good about them, so they can't be bad. But I heard Elida say, Cortez, now she's married to a friend of mine, Tim Cortez, and she said that her pastor said, because he was trying to hire a pastor in a church, and that if he ever hired a pastor in a church, they went up publicly to a pulpit and said that if he ever hired a pastor, and he hired him, and he went up to a pulpit and publicly said from the pulpit that it was not God's will to heal, would fire him on the spot. I said, amen for that man. Because it's God's will to heal every single time. I will not. If I ever start that doctrine, just run me over accidentally and call it a mistake when out in the parking lot. Oops, I didn't see him. I didn't see his big left ear. I didn't see his big left ear on my left side. Oops. I didn't see his big ear. I'm sure Kathy be the first one. I didn't see it. I promise I didn't see that big left ear. Ma'am, how did you know he had a left ear that was big? Ooh. If I ever start that kind of filth, stone me with pebbles. Stone me with pebbles. Fruity pebbles. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 John, are you ready for about a 2 or 3 week teaching, a good teaching on this on 1 John? I won't try to keep, when it's 8:30, let me know. Say it's time, and I'll know it's 8:30, okay? I might ignore you, but I'll know it's 8:30. 1 John. I've been going through it for years, and I thought I had it. Had it to an extent. And I feel so good, because I've been talking to a lot of the teachers lately. Me and Barry have developed a great relationship. Talking to Gary Carpenter a couple days ago. Talking to Jim Martin. And I love what Jim Martin said. And I felt good. Because he said he has found 1 John to be one of the hardest books to break out of the whole Bible. I second that, man. If you tell me you got it, and don't make me call you a liar in church in front of everybody. That is one hard book to break. So I went back in it just recently. And I was stuck on it, man. I was stuck on it. So then I felt the Holy Ghost. This is a part where I think so many people miss it. As a matter of fact, this is why so many people miss it. They don't abide in the pastures that the Holy Ghost would have them in. They randomly read the Word of God. You can't randomly read the Word of God. You can. You're not going to go to hell. God forbid. But if you got an issue with lust or pornography or you're a drunkard, what you gonna do reading Genesis or Revelation or Deuteronomy, man? Why don't you just stick your nose in Romans or in Galatians or in 1 John? Ask the Holy Ghost, where would you have me dwell, Lord? So when I journeyed back into 1 John, I got to a point where I was stuck. I felt the Holy Ghost whisper to me, yes, Lord. You know what I've been preaching lately about follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men? Pretty good stuff, isn't it? You better say yes. Actually, it's exceptional stuff. So today we're going to follow him so he can make me and you a fisher of men. But we're going to follow somebody that followed him that was a fisher of men. You got that? Okay, before he said, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. But today we're going to follow someone that followed him, that was a fisher of men, and his name was John. John followed him and became a fisher of men. So I'm following him who followed him. And that says I'm still following him because him followed him. What's with me today, man? Oh, it almost slipped, Corey. But I'm mortified now. I don't respond to trash and vulgarity, Corey. We got you after church, brother. Hallelujah. So I'm following a man that followed Jesus and became a fisher of men. In essence, I'm still following Jesus. Amen. Because John's teachings so paralleled the teachings of Jesus Christ. So paralleled them. And I felt the Holy Ghost whisper to me, in order for you to completely break through the other end of 1 John, you have to comprehend the Gospels. And I didn't comprehend that at first. You have to understand John 13 through 17. You have to understand the Gospels in order to get the full revelation, son, of what I'm trying to teach you out of 1 John. Notice he said, what I'm trying to teach you. You know what? Because I'm a disciple. I'm not a pastor first. I am a disciple. My ministry is a fruit of my discipleship. It's not the other way around. Too many people have their ministry outside of discipleship. I put myself in every single teaching that I hear throughout my Bible every day. I put myself there. I don't put you there. I put you there too many times, judging your actions. He's talking to my wife there. He ain't talking to me. No. He's talking to me. I put myself there through imagery. I put myself there. Teach me, Jesus. Disciple me. You are my perfect prototype. Teach me, Lord. Teach me. I'm not going to keep you long. It's simple what I'm going to teach you tonight. Simple, but powerful. If you have an ear to hear, you'll like this tonight. So simple. So we're following a man that followed Jesus, whom asked me to follow him. So I'm following Jesus. Following John, because John followed Jesus and was a fisher of men. Now I'm following the teachings of John as he wrote and parallel the teachings of Jesus as he followed Jesus. So now, follow me as I follow the Holy Ghost and I follow 1 John. So we're just a bunch of followers. Be quiet, Corey. John, you might say, Homer, this is the correction I received from the Holy Ghost. Not a correction. You're going to preach on being born again? That's the foundation. It might be the foundation, but John preached it towards the end of his life. So it's more than a foundation, my friends, because John walked with Jesus. You're preaching that again? Yep. John said in chapter 4 somewhere, I don't know the verse. I know before long. I'll be flipping through my pages before long. He said, beloved, now bear with me now, with the understanding that I had to comprehend, I've been going through the Gospels, just going over them, for me to fully understand 1 John. I've probably gone through it, I don't know how many times. I'm not going to say 1,000 anymore because I think I was wrong. I think I was just exaggerated in a good way, but it's a lie. God cannot attach himself to a lie. So I had to readjust it. I've gone through it several hundred times. It's getting that sensitive with me now that I got to really watch what I say. Because God cannot attach himself to a good, positive exaggeration. He can't. He can't attach himself to it. It's gotten that sensitive in my life. It's a good thing. I love it. If 6 got born again, I can't say 7 or 8. I said, no, 6 got born again. I can't. God cannot attach himself to a lie. He cannot. I've learned that. John said, beloved, let us who the beloved, us the born-again believers, us that have the spirit of truth in us. So beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another. For everyone that loveth is what? Born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. This was manifested, the love of God towards us, and that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That's the only word he remembers out of that whole book is him. Beloved, let us love one another. What did Jesus say in John 13? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Beloved, let us love one another. For everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Talking to a born-again believer. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Then he goes on, seems to change the subject. But he that loveth not, knoweth not God. He gave an example of what a born-again believer does. He said, John says, beloved, love one another. For love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he seems to switch it a little bit. He does and he doesn't. He said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. What he was saying, a born-again believer, he was talking to a born-again believer in both parts of that verse. He didn't change the subject. He gave two different lifestyles, but he didn't change the subject. He said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. The believer. A born-again believer walks in love. An unregenerate person, what? Doesn't walk in love. But he was talking to a born-again believer. He said, John, family prayer center, walk in love. For love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Family prayer center, he that loveth not knoweth not God. He didn't say you weren't born again. He didn't say you didn't love God. He didn't say you didn't know God. He said a person that doesn't love knoweth not God. He's saying an unregenerate person doesn't love people. An unregenerate person doesn't love God. You're born again. You love people. He said, don't act like an unregenerate person. Don't act like one. Well, how do I act like an unregenerate person? How do I act like a person that does not have the life of God when you don't love? What's the separation? Society's not born again. They don't walk in love. A Christian's born again. They're not walking in love. What's the separation? There is no separation. He said, beloved, let us, the beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth, born of God and knoweth God. Same topic, same subject. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You're born again. You walk in love. If you fulfill the top, you're walking in love. Don't walk on the latter part of that verse. If you walk in the latter part and you're not walking out the love that's in you, you're just like an unregenerate. He didn't say you weren't born again. He said you're walking just like a person that doesn't have the spirit of life in them. You're walking like a heathen. You're walking like the person that has the spirit of Antichrist that opposes everything that Jesus Christ is. You're walking just like him. What's the difference? What's the difference? Beloved, family, Homer. And I got away for a moment. I love what Pastor Barry says, that you don't say certain things because you put a face in front of it. How many of you heard that teaching Friday night? But Homer went searching for a face to put in front of that verse the other day, which was wrong. And I shook my head and I stopped and said, no. I'm being discipled here. This isn't for anybody else. I'm being discipled here. Homer. Love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Carry out the life that's in you. Carry it out. Don't be like a heathen, Homer. Don't be like a man that, whose candle is not lit. That's what's wrong with the body of Christ. We worry about too many things other than, you know, when the Bible says that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you love your brother. That's one thought, man. I can't love you. I can't agape you lest I'm born again. The two go together. They're not separated. We've separated them, though. The body of Christ has separated them. But this one thought, I'm born again instantaneously. The capacity to love you is there. 1 John chapter 2, the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. What light? The light is his life. His life is his essence. It's his life, who he is. That's been in me. There's a nature of love inside of me. Beloved, let us love one another. For everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. An unregenerate man doesn't love. He doesn't know God. My God, don't act like an unregenerate man that doesn't know God. You know God. You can love. Do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Love one another and the whole world will know that you belong to me. Don't act like an unregenerate man. darkness is past. 1 John chapter 2, and the true light now shining. Don't act like an unregenerate. Now, what we got to do, I'm going to break down to you what love is. And I read 1 John. I probably got the whole book memorized. I'm sure I do. I could, it'll just go out of me. What's that mean to Jesus? Nothing. Nada. I don't know how to say it in Creole. How you say nothing in Creole? They don't even know. They're modernized Haitians. Educated Haitians. But I love them. Son, go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to get the full understanding and revelation of 1 John. John walked with Jesus, fellas. 3.5 years, he was tutored. Tutored by the perfect prototype. Before you judge anybody in their walk, and I'm learning, these last 5 or 6 months have been the most glorious of my life. The most, by far. It's like I've been born again. Beloved, let us love one another. Okay, John, I get that. I'm a born again believer. I got to carry out what's in me, which is love. A spiritual DNA, which is love inside of my human spirit. I get that. It's only because if you don't love, you don't know God. You're not born of God. In other words, he's not telling the believer that he wasn't born again. He's saying, but you're acting like a person that isn't born again. So we have to establish what love is. Let us love one another. So I followed Jesus to John, to Matthew chapter 7, knowing that the full understanding of what love was, a lot of it is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the sayings of Jesus Christ. So one example of love would be Matthew 7 and 1. This is, it says, judge not, lest ye be judged. Walking in forgiveness is love. Walking in mercy is what? It's love. It's the instruction of heaven. But we're not going to go, we're going to just concentrate on Matthew 7 and 1. Fulfilling the words that John spoke by the Holy Ghost in John, 1 John chapter 4. He said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. You're born again, love. Live out of that inward witness. Live out of that spiritual mind. Love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Don't be like an unregenerate person that doesn't know God and doesn't love God. You love God. You're born of him. You love your brother. Live it out. Walk it out. Live it. Don't be like an unregenerate person. Don't be like him, because there's no differential. You're just like an unregenerate person. You're bringing me no glory. No glory whatsoever. You are that salt that's trodden underfoot of men. You've become good for nothing. Love, 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 love. Matthew 7 and 1. Judge not, lest ye be judged. We're trying to find out what that actual love that John instructed you to walk in, what that love is. Part of that love is judge not, lest ye be judged. And I've judged from the pulpit. I've judged. I've looked at you and I've judged you. Maybe not with my words, but in my heart I judged you. Forgetting one very, and I'm sure you've judged me. There's things that you do that I hate. And I'm sure there's things that I do and say that you hate. Can we conclude that we both have moats? That you have a moat and that I have a moat? You want that moat to get bigger in your life? Then judge my moat. The little moat that you had exceeds my moat because it bothered you and you were open about it. You had to tell the world about my moat. Go ahead, I dare you. Both moats were here. What caused your moat to go here and my moat to go here? When I took note of your moat, I told everybody about your moat, then I had a beam. He said, judge not, lest ye be judged. There's things that you do and that you've done that I don't like. There's things that I've done and I've did and I'll probably do again that you don't like. I love what Gary Carpenter says the other day in the tape that I heard. The Holy Ghost was given to me to change me, not to change you. Is it really my job to take note of your mote? Is it really my job to let your mote, to let your stronghold hinder me? If your stronghold hinders me and it bothers me, I just testify to my own self that I have a stronghold. So, beloved, let us love one another. What's part of that love, John? Judge not. See, he walked with Jesus. He was there on the mountain when Jesus taught that sermon. And judge not, John, lest you be judged. Judge not, Homer, lest you be judged. For what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. What measure you meet, it shall be measured back unto you. Why beholdest thou the mote? He said, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? You know why he beheld the mote in his brother's eye? Do you know why he beheld it? You know why he said, and do not behold the mote? So why do you behold the mote in your brother's eye? Why do you behold the mote in your brother's eye? Why? You know why he beheld it? You know why? Because he judged him. Think about it. Judge not, lest ye be judged. For what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. What measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? You beheld it because he judged him. But consider not the beam that is thine own eye. He said, you hypocrite. You hypocrite. You beheld a mote. You had a mote. But you judged the one that had a mote. Obviously, you had a mote because his mote bothered you. But then you fertilized that mote and it became a huge 2x4 and a 4x4. And you had to tell the world, oh, I trust you, Rosie, with all my heart. But I trust you. I can trust you, Rosie, because I know you don't gossip. And I want you to bind with me together in prayer, Rosie. Bind with me in prayer. Bind with me, Marcia. Because I love this person. I love him so much. God, I love him. They're so special to me. Praise the Lord. But, that's common. But it's judging, my friends. It's judging. It's judging. Honey, Pastor Bronx is a great guy, and I love him. He's a good man of God. And we're one together, honey, in the flesh. We become one. Christ is our covering. We're one together. Pastor Brown and Ms. Kennedy, they're great people, honey. Oh, they're great. But I got to tell you this one, because you're my wife. We're one together. You know, there's things I don't even tell my wife anymore about people. Beloved, let us love one another. What's part of that love that you asked me to love one another with? Hey, don't judge. Don't judge. Okay, let's say that, who's in front of me here? Okay, I'll judge. Let me judge Renee for a little bit. Miss Kathy, I love Renee with all my heart. Kathy, he's a great guy. The nurse of all nurses. Although when you fired him for losing your dog, it's okay, Kathy. He lost a $2,000 dog, but it's okay, Kathy. It's okay. Renee's a good guy, Kathy, but where's it at? Back, there it is. Okay. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. If you dare judge me. Great guy, Kathy. I know he's got issues. Kathy, me and you grew up together, Kathy. I remember you moved down from Vero Beach when you hated Mexicans. Now you're married to one, Kathy. We go back a long way. Remember, Kathy, back at the Union 76 gas station? Remember? I can trust you, Kathy. You're like my sister. Renee's got issues, Kathy. Right there and then. Any mote that I might have had became a beam. Let's say he does have issues. I don't have any issues. I don't know about you. Let's say he does have an issue. I don't know whether he hates that issue or not. Remember this next time you judge someone. I had to learn this recently. I said, beloved, let us love one another. Okay, John, I see that. Can you break down that word love for me? It's agape. The sayings of Christ are love. He wants me to walk in the sayings of Christ. Renee's a good guy, Kathy. Oh, my God. But I trust you, Kathy. Would you say a word? Because I know you pray. I know you see. I know you fast. I know you do. But Kathy. Okay, he does have an issue. Let's say he's struggling with an issue. I don't know whether he's getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and spending time with Jesus to get that issue out of his life. Be careful. Not just for this reason alone, not be careful when you judge somebody, because what if they're being tutored by the Holy Ghost? What if he has that issue in his life? He knows it's wrong. You know my issue's wrong. But what if the issue that I have in my life, what if it bothers you? Well, you feel you have to tell the whole world about what you discerned. Usually what you discern in somebody else, you see it in yourself. I found this out. A person that's easily offended is one that offends easy. I found that out. A person that is offended easy, offends easy. Take that to the bank. If you get offended easy, you testified. You offend easy. So I got an issue in my life. You had to tell your best friend about it. You had to tell him. What you forgot to do or meditate on or pray upon or to ask God is maybe the one that had the issue, maybe they were trying with all they had to get rid of that damnable thing in their life. Maybe they despised it, but they struggled with it, but despised it. You don't know if maybe they were fasting a day on, a day off. You don't know how many times they were reading Romans a week to get that damnable thing out of their life. Yet, their stronghold bothered you. Yet, they were being tutored by the Holy Ghost. God, I know I've got this issue, Lord. I know I'm giving in to it, Father, but I commit these next 30 minutes to the book of Romans. I commit these next 30 minutes to worship you and praise you for that place called done. I thank you that sin has no dominion over me, Father. I thank you. I'm going to give this 30 minutes a day to you praying in the Holy Ghost, eradicating that junk out of my life. But no, we had to judge somebody, didn't we? You judged a man or woman that was being tutored by the Holy Ghost. What if they weren't being tutored? You still got to shut your mouth. Judge not. And he was talking to the disciple. He was talking to me. Judge not lest you be judged. What judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And what measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? But consider not the beam that is thine own eye. Thou hypocrite. Thou hypocrite. You hypocrite. Whew. So I had an issue. You obviously had an issue too, because my issue bothered you. You were okay with your issue. Not that we're going to deal with those issues. You were okay with your issue. I had my issue I was dealing with. That mote that you had, you know the mote that I had. But instantaneously, when you started telling people about that issue, that mote that you had far exceeded the mote that I had. It became a beam. Why? Because you had to make vocal. You had to make known what that other person said about the situation. You had to tell somebody in good spirits. Beloved, let us love one another. For everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, for God is love. Here we go, closing it down. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us. God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God sent his only begotten Son. Had to be a begotten Son that was born of God to come display all that God was for me and you. Let me ask you a question. Me and you were born again, right? Who loved who first for me and you to be born again according to 1 John? Did I love him first or did he love me first? He loved me first. And in that love process, I accepted his love and I said, okay, Lord, you came, you died for me. You loved me first. You came as a man in the flesh. You died, you rose again, you were condemned, you rose again. You loved me first. I accepted your testimony, then I loved you in return after you loved me first. I was born again because you loved me first. I was born again because you loved me first. I was born again because you loved me first. Then what are we supposed to do as society? Love them what? First. Not second. Not after we judge, not after we fire back on him, as he loved me and you first, we were born again. If we're ever going to win society, we got to learn how to love them first so they can see and feel the eternal life of the Father that abides in our human spirit. So I said, beloved, let us love one another. Father, you love me first. You sent Jesus Christ as my propitiation. You died for me. Oh, Father, I accept your testimony. I accept your witness. You love me first, so I give my life to you. We think we're going to win over society by having temper tantrums and emotional outbursts and responding back because we have to respond back. You're loving them second, buddy. You gave them what they wanted to hear. I rest my case in Jesus. That Christian bunch, they're all the same. If we're going to be persecuted and talked about, let it not be like 1 Peter says, because we're busybodies, thieves or murderers and other people's matters. But if we suffer as a Christian, let us rejoice in that. He loved me first. I loved him back. Go out to the world and you love first. You're ever going to win over society? Love them first. Not after a response. Love them first. Family prayers are remarkably beloved. Let us love one another. For everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. We can't live like unregenerate people anymore. Because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth, meaning our candle has been lit. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, and that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, that God sent his only begotten Son, his only begotten Son, his only begotten Son, his Son that was born again. He sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him, through the life of God that was in him. The way he loved me first, the same way he wants me and you to go out as begotten sons and daughters of God with eternal life inside of us, with the agape of God inside of us. You go out the same way that my Son won you, as he loved you first. You go out and you love first. No questions asked. Let them slander you. Let them persecute you. Let them talk about you. It doesn't matter. Love them first. And if you love them first, you have followed me. Fisher of men. Is that good stuff or what? That's the Holy Ghost, my friends. Talking through a Mexican that graduated with 17 F's his senior year. True story. My best friend got 18. He beat me by one. To a man that couldn't even work a computer or an iPhone, that his son taught him. All glory to the risen Savior. Thank you, Father, that you thought enough about me, that you gave me the Spirit of truth. You gave me the Holy Ghost. In closing, not bad, huh? That's teaching number one to this series. You've been born again. The instruction out of that conversion. These aren't separated. We're going to get up early tonight, buddy. The instruction out of that conversion comes out of that born-again spirit. They're not separated. We've been born again. Now, out of that born-again conversion, out of that eternal life that lives inside of our spirit, is the instruction, because the darkness is past and the true light now shining, comes that instruction on how to love. To love, judge not. Beloved, let us love one another. What's love? Everything that Jesus commanded us to do. The uh-uhs and the uh-huhs of life in our everyday life. Beloved, let us love one another. Out of that born-again conversion, this is an immediate instruction of the day that me and you got born again. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Meaning, talking to a believer, how to live out of sonship. So you're my son. I've asked you to love. Don't be like one that isn't my son. Don't be like one that doesn't know me and doesn't love. Don't be like him. Because if you are, there's no separation. There's no differential. There's no variance. I don't care what the reason is. You've been instructed. Not only have you been instructed, but according to 1 John chapter 5, my commandments inside of you, they're not a burden to you. Why? Because you're born of them. You're born of love. Therefore, James chapter 4 says, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. You know to do good. So if you don't do what's good out of your spirit to you, my friends, it is sin. A Sunday, maybe, the Lord permits, we're going to take this. Would you want to hear a little bit more this Sunday? About what the true darkness is that the believer walked in chapter 1. I shared it before, but he gave me a little bit more light on this last week or so. Shed a little bit more light on this. So in closing words, beloved, let us love one another. My last words to you, my last words to myself, as I put myself there when John wrote 1 John. My pastor Dave, our pastor, says that it took John 75 years to write five measly chapters. It's going to take more than one pass to it to understand it. It's taken me 10 years to grasp it. I'm finally feeling what John asked me to do. Love out of that conversion. What conversion? The day you were born again, the love of God was it deposited in your human spirit. The love of God that abides in your human spirit is the very love that I'm asking you to love out of. The eternal life that was in God, that God is, was passed down to Jesus Christ in his humanity. As I confessed him as Redeemer, the eternal life, the life of God that was in him, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me and you free from the law of sin and death. We have been redeemed, born again, spirit-filled. We can change the world if we just heed to the writings of the perfect prototype, and his name is Jesus Christ. And don't you forget, when you try to judge somebody, be careful. You might be judging one that's being tutored by the Holy Ghost. You judge somebody, be careful, man. You don't know what they're going through. Even if you do know what they're going through, shut your mouth. That even goes for our enemies. Beloved, let us love one another. For everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Family prayer center, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Don't be like an unregenerate person that does not have the spore or the seed of God inside of them. Don't walk and hate like an unregenerate person that doesn't know me as Redeemer. Don't be like it unto them. I'm going to conclude with this. Love is obeying his sayings. Catch this now. Love is abiding in the light. Abiding in the light is abiding in his life. Abiding in his life is abiding in his commandments. Abiding in his commandments is abiding in his word. There's so much more I want to share tonight, but I'm not going, so I want to leave you on the edge of your seats for Sunday. We're going to take it one step further. We're going to break down to a T Sunday what the darkness was in John chapter 1. The believer was walking and thinking that he was in fellowship with God. Amen. If we really, really want to represent the kingdom of God, Jesus said in John 13, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. He said, by this shall all men, listen to what he said. By this shall all men, what? And they shall all men, what did he say? Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of what? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. By this shall all men, follow me, fisher of men. Follow me, fisher of men. Follow me, fisher of men. All his sayings in a nutshell. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. All men, the men that I've commissioned you to go out and win in this world, if they have ears to ear, to hear, they're going to know that you belong to me by the love that you walk in. They will know, they will know, they will know, they will know, they will know that you are my disciple if you have love one to another. Don't go out without walking in agape, because your words will be vanity. Vanity. But if they have ears to hear and they want to encounter Jesus, if they want to encounter Jesus, the man that you're going out to win, if they want to encounter Jesus and you go out in the love of God and they want to encounter Jesus, you walk in love, they want to encounter Jesus, and you walk in love, they want to be poor in spirit and you walk in love, they know they need a change and you walk in love, guess what? You're going to win them. Because they're going to know that you belong to Jesus. They wanted a change. They wanted a Christian to minister to them in love. If you love the way Jesus says to love, the one that had ears to hear, the one that knew that he was a sinner and wanted to change, he'll know that you belong to Jesus. And if he knows you belong to Jesus, salvation is at the door because of the love that we walk in. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What time is it?
5 minutes till.
Is it? Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Did you have a good time? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So I put the offering buckets out. Reminder, hallelujah. I had a good time. This Friday, I made an invitation Sunday. I don't know who heeded and who didn't. I dare you. I double dog dare you. I triple, triple dog dare you. Let's come Friday. I dare you. Let's come spend the night Friday in prayer. Okay, let me go back. Rewind. Let's come Friday with a mindset. Let's spend hours in prayer. See, how come I went from all night to hours? Amen. The joke. I'll stay as long as you want to stay Friday. If you want to stay in the Saturday morning, I'll stay with you. It's never going to happen, man. Unless we start now. Our lives are not our own. To you we belong. I give myself to you. Start Friday. Think about it. Ponder it. We'll come in Friday, Miss Gail, lead us in confession. We'll worship, bring your sleeping bag. I'll bring my purple pillow. Bring you a Subway sandwich. Bring me one too. Mexicans, we want to bring our thermos, but we can't do that. Come Friday night. I dare you, stretch yourself. If you stay till 11 or 12, that's fine. Just stay. Let's stay. You want to bring in the night? I'll bring it in with you. We'll bring it in together. You got to go home at 1, go home at 1. You got to go home at 10, go home at 10. Let's stretch ourselves this Friday. Will you consider it?
Yes.
Amen. Let's consider it. And we have an all-men's meeting this Sunday at 6 o'clock. 17 years old and over. It's called Can We Talk About Anything Tonight? It talks about everything. Ladies, you're not invited. We had a great We had 45 people the other day from different other churches, pastors, deacons, worship leaders, and they wanted it back. Not me. I got the call. Let's have it again. There was a unity here. I said, let's do it, baby. We'll do it. So this coming Sunday night, tell your husbands, unless he's walking on water, you don't have to tell him, come have him lay hands on me. He probably isn't. Was it good last time, boys? My Renee wasn't here. He was in the movies. Alex, was it good? We had a great time, didn't we? Did I say that? He was working at the movies. Friday, all night prayer. Say that to yourself. Minister to your own soul. All night prayer Friday. And the thing about it, if you don't stay all night long, you can tell me something that you did and I won't know the difference. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. You can fool me. Not that you have to. Friday, confession. Come out and support Gay, Marty, the Plamundans. They're always here. Always do everything for the house of God. Great people. Come out Friday. Edify ourselves. Sunday, tell your husbands, tell your 17-year-old son and up to come. It's going to be powerful. Amen? Stand with me, please. Did you receive something tonight? Hallelujah. So, Father, you got the offering buckets out. We bless you. We praise you and we thank you for your mercy, for your grace. Thank you, Father, you're discipling us, Father. You're making disciples out of us, Father, to go out and to win this world. Not with articulation, not with zeal, not with Bible memorization, Father, but with the love, with the agape of the Almighty God. Revival, no doubt, is your heart, Father, but it first must be in our hearts. I see what Pastor Bronk and Pastor Dave mean. That's our desire, Father God, to go out and to see him born again and healed. I know that, and they are so right, Father God. Let that vision be in us also, Lord. Let it burn in us, Father God. Let people, the desire to minister to people, let that burn in us more than anything on the face of this earth. And I thank you for Pastor Bronk, and I thank you for Pastor Dave and all the men that teach us this wonderful stuff, Father God, for Gary Carpenter, for Jim Martin, for all these men that labor, Father God, giving us this revelation knowledge. I praise you, Father. I thank you for your mercy and for your grace, and we will heed your words and love one another, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And everyone said, God bless you. See you Friday, all night.